Okay, good morning, everyone. Last time we were together, we spoke about Myriv, and we spoke about the fact that, anybody remember? The late Myriv. What's our heter to daven Myriv so late? And we dealt with the issue at length. Now let's go to the opposite side of the coin. What's the earliest time you can daven Mincha?
Plag?
Oh, no.
You're putting us real late. Once again, there's a Mincha Gedola, which is at what time of the day? Let's go back to day 101, back in school. The halachic day is divided up into 12 parts. The halachic night into 12 parts. So let's take the halachic day now, leave out the night. When can you daven Mincha? The 12th part is already the end of the day.
Oh, okay, the 6th part.
You would say the 6th part, probably Gzera Derabanan, 6.5. Because you won't make a mistake on a day like this when there's clouds in the sky. 6.5 hours into the day, you can daven Mincha. Right? However, we got the same problem we got with Myriv. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Lamed Gimel 233 says the following words. And you tell me what you think when he says it. Mishit palel tefilat mincha la'achar sheish shaot u'mechtza u'lamala yotza. V'ikar zmana miteisha shaot u'mechtza. Translate. Whoever daven mincha from the 6.5 hour is yotze. Fulfilled his obligation. But its real time, ikar zmana, is from 9.5 hours. How would you take that?
It sounds really good.
It seems like the early one is sort of bidiyavat. So what is that based on? What is that based on? What do you mean? He says, yotza. He doesn't say bidiyaved, you can daven that way. We have Shulchan Aruchs that say that, listen, you should finish davening by this time. But bidiyaved, you can do this. Later on in the same simon, he talks about what you mentioned, Bruce, plag hamincha, that famous idea of Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the 4th chapter in Brachot, that you can daven mincha before the plag and Myriv after the plag, like we usually do in the summer on Friday nights. And he says, but if you daven both mincha and Myriv after the plag, namely you use both points of view for your favor, it's not a good idea. Bidiyevid yotze. He uses the word bidiyevid. Here he doesn't use the word bidiyevid. He says, whoever davens mincha from 6.5 hours, yotze. Meaning, fulfilled his obligation, but ikar zmana, the real time is 9.5 hours. So what is this based on? Very good. Why don't we daven? We have two sources of davening. First source of davening is? Go in order, chronological order.
The Avot.
The Avot. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Avram, David, Chachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, Yaakov, Myriv. Fine. I'm not going to go into that now. Did they really only daven Chachris and not Mincha? Did they really only daven Mincha and not Myriv? But from our perspective, we have that paradigm. Then the Gemara says, there's another point of view. What is it? Like the Korbanot. So we have a Tamid Shel Shachar, a daily Korban in the morning, that's our Shachris, corresponding to our Shachris. We have a daily Korban in the afternoon called Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, which is corresponding our Mincha. And then the parts that you didn't have to burn during the day, burnt at night, if needed, and that's why we daven Myriv. In parentheses, I'll tell you, that if they did burn all the parts during the day, and they closed the Beis HaMikdash down at night for business, then, obviously, you can understand why Myriv is called Rishut. Because not every day did they have these leftover parts. Leaving out Myriv, we're talking about Mincha. When did they actually sacrifice the Mincha Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, known as the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim? Yes, Bruce?
Why don't they say this, since there's two perspectives, that the second one, the Korbanot, is actually linked back to the first one? That the reason we have these Korbanot times is linked when we have both times.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. So, when did they actually do it? Every day, says the Gemara in Pesachim, they actually brought the Korban at 9.5 hours. For a very simple reason, technical reason. We have a halacha, that if you read Korbanos in the morning, it says it, that it's called a positive commandment of Hashlama. Hashlama means that you have to sandwich all the Korbanos that the Jewish people bring every day between the Tamid Shel Boker and Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. The first Korban that you bring in the morning in the Beis HaMikdash was the daily sacrifice in the morning, and the last was the daily sacrifice in the afternoon. So just putting your head on, if your heads are screwed on straight and you drink enough coffee this morning, if you brought the korban at 6.5 hours, which today corresponds to about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, plus minus, then the rest of the 4 hours of the day is shot. No one can bring korbanos. So it's a terrible idea. So they would push it off to 9.5 hours into the day. And then the Jewish people brought their korbanos from the morning till through the afternoon. And at 9.5 hours, very, very nice, they brought the last korban. Except for one day of the year, if it happened to fall out that year. Which day? Tricky question. Which day of the year is their korban, the only one, that you do not have to bring between the two tamids? And everyone has to bring it. The korban Pesach. The korban Pesach was brought after the tamid Shaben Arbaim. So on a normal Erev Pesach, they would bring the korban tamid at its regular time. And then the Jewish people would line up and bring their Korban Pesachs. And then they would barbecue them into the night, because you're allowed to cook on Yantif. And eventually, during the Seder, the Korban is totally barbecued. And then you can eat it during the Seder. Except for one particular Erev Pesach. Which is that? No, because Korban Pesach is Docheh Shabbos. Which one? You're close. Day before. We had it last year. We'll have it this year if things don't change. If Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos, because if it falls out on Erev, on Shabbos itself, you can bring the Korban and you barbecue it Motzei Shabbos, which is the first night of the Seder. But if it's Erev Shabbos, you can't barbecue on Shabbos. So they had to have it all barbecued up, put on the plata, before Shabbos began. So therefore they had to make everything earlier in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, on that particular year, if it fell out that way, like this year, they would bring the Tamid at 6.5 hours, what we call Mincha Gedola, and then the Jewish people would bring their Korban Pesach, and barbecue it all up, get it ready for the night, before nightfall, all the Korban Pesachs are barbecued. So basically, we have what they did every single day, and we have what they did once in a while when it fell out that way. Now you can understand the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us that every single day in the Beis HaMikdash they brought it at 9.5 hours. That's when you should daven mincha, what we call mincha ketana. But because it's mutter to bring it earlier, it was just a bad idea because you couldn't bring any korbanot afterwards. And proof positive, when you didn't have that limitation on Erev Pesach, when the Jews wanted to bring a korban Pesach, and they could have brought it after the Tamid, they did bring the korban at 6.5 hours. We learned that it's mutter to bring it from 6.5 hours, which corresponds to our mincha.
What are the words ketana gedola?
I won't go into that now, but quite frankly, we have basically what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. We have what they sometimes did, that sometimes teaches us that it's basically mutter. It's just that the Beis HaMikdash didn't want to close down for business so early in the day. Just like you leave your store open until the clients no longer come. They thought clients were still coming. But only on this particular day they knew that the clients are going to come, but they're going to bring it after the Korban Tamid, so they made it earlier.
So this doesn't apply to us. So since we have the
now comes the question. How much does this apply to us? So there's two points of view here. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say, we have to mimic the Beis HaMikdash. Mimic what they used to do. So what did they used to do? They used to board it at 9.5 hours. So you should have a mincha ketana every day. It's not going to be easy, especially in the winter. There's limitations of what you're not allowed to do before mincha, which will limit your activity. And therefore, that's the real time. We have to mimic the Beis HaMikdash. But if you have no choice, the Mishnah Berurah says, for example, you want to eat a big meal. You're not supposed to eat a big meal before mincha gedola, at least Ashkenazim. You're not supposed to eat even a little meal before mincha ketana, thus the two terms perhaps. To make a long story short, if you have a need, you can daven earlier. So if you have a busy schedule in the afternoon, perhaps it's a good idea to daven mincha earlier. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to go with the point of view, mimic the Beis HaMikdash if you can. If you can't, you have your heter, it's fine, and it's absolutely mutter. Because when Erev Pesach came out on Erev Shabbos, it wasn't that the Beis HaMikdash worked in a bidyevit fashion, they worked lechatchila. So obviously, you could do it, but you should mimic what they did on a Wednesday in the Beis HaMikdash when you daven mincha on a Wednesday. Yeah?
I thought Zerizim was a factor. If you presented with an opportunity for mincha early, which I always do every day, because of Hebrew kollel, we make mincha 1 o'clock. I should take the opportunity, because who knows what will be later in the day.
Okay, so first of all, you're bringing up, against mimicking the Beis HaMikdash, which is very nice, mimicking what they used to do. Basically, what Bruce is saying, I understand mimicking the Beis HaMikdash and tefillot are like korbanot, I understand that all, but there's another value I have in Judaism, a halachic value, what's it called? Mitzvah haba'a liyotcha al tachmitzena. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let it go by. If you want to see a radical manifestation of what I just said, it's not that there's a minion here right when you finish learning. I'll give you a better radical manifestation of what I just said. The Gura was of the opinion that on the second night of Rosh Hashanah you should say Shechianu. It's a big machlokas if on the second night of Rosh Hashanah you say Shechianu or not. He was of the opinion you do. But there was a gentleman in Vilna that didn't know that. So he wanted to do what most Jews do, because it's a machlokas to say Shechianu, what's our little trick we do?
We take a new fruit.
So when we say the Shechianu, we say, oh, if we're chayev and saying Shechianu for Rosh Hashanah, we're saying Shechianu. If we're not chayev, there's a new fruit on the table that's mechayev us. So thus we say the Shechianu. That's the way the Jews were very nervous about halacha does. The Gra was very sure of himself. So came along a Jew in Vilna who didn't know all this and said, holy Vilna Gaon, I brought you a new fruit for the second night of Rosh Hashanah. And he gave it to him 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. What does the Gra do?
He
makes a Shechianu right then and there and eats it. So this guy looks at him like he's crazy. Holy Vilna, I brought it to you for the second night Rosh Hashanah. He said, mitzvah bali yadcha atach mitzana. What kind of baloney is this? Wait till second night Rosh Hashanah. Right now, there's a mitzvah to do. You do it right now. So that's a value in Judaism against mimicking the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps that's a good idea. Adding into the equation, perhaps it's a good idea that because you want to do various activities in the afternoon that you're not allowed to do before Mincha. The Mishnayot in Shabbos talks about all the things you're not allowed to do with Mincha. If you want to read it in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a siman before this one, Reish Lamed Bet, 232. You can see all the things you're not allowed to do before Mincha. I want to eat a big meal. I want to do a lot of those things in the afternoon. I have it planned. So it's a good idea to daven Mincha Gedola. And thus the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishi Palo Tfilat Mincha La'achar Shei Shalto Mechza Umala Yatza. So there's many values against mimicking the Beis HaMikdash that we can throw in. However, perhaps what the Shulchan Aruch is bringing out here is something totally different. You can mimic the Beis HaMikdash, but maybe the question is, how much do we have to mimic the Beis HaMikdash? Perhaps we have to remember it, but not all the way. After all, we always say that a Shulchan that you eat on is like what? A Mizbeach. Did you ever slaughter an animal on it? It's like a Mizbeach, but it's not a Mizbeach because there's no blood on the table. On the Mizbeach, we threw blood. So due respect, if you cut your finger, that's not the blood I'm talking of. You cut the meat on the table. You throw salt on it. So we do some things, but we don't mimic it totally. Any other examples of Beis HaMikdash-oriented activities that we say, it's like the Beis HaMikdash, but not exactly? I'll give you the best one. In Israel, most people, everyone knows this. Outside of Israel, if you're part of the Sephardi communities, the Yekki communities, you know this. Most of the Ashkenazi communities don't know this. At Ne'ilah, we duchen. At Ne'ilah, we duchen. Now, do you have to duchen before Shkia? The Bavli doesn't mention it at all. The Yerushalmi says yes. Yerushalmi gives a good reason to. It says duchening is like avoda. After all, the source of duchening is when on the eighth day, there's a parsha named after that. What's it called?
Shmini.
When Aaron HaKohen finally started working in the first Beis HaMikdash called the Mishkan, it's open up for business. First he did the korbanos, and then it says in the pasuk that he blessed the people. Thus the halacha is that you have to begin to make your way, you a Kohen, from here to where you're going to duchen at Ritzei, when we talk about avoda. That's very nice. Because if you talk about avoda, and duchening is like avoda, we have a halacha regarding avoda. You can't shecht at night. You can't bring a korban at night. The only thing you can do at night is burn off those remaining parts that we mentioned earlier. So if duchening is like avoda, and avoda you can only do during the daylight, so you have to duchen before shkia, thus you rush at ne'ilah to make shkia. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Bavli doesn't mention it. And there was many poskim, that said, don't go crazy. It's like an avoda, but it's not totally like an avoda. Quite frankly, in the shul, there's no lamps, and there's no blood, and there's no knives, and there's none of the stuff you had in the Beis HaMikdash. It's like an avoda, but it's not totally like the avoda. So I believe that here in the Shulchan Aruch, we have exactly that idea right here. Do you totally mimic what the Beis HaMikdash used to be in the absence of it? Or do you remember it? You commemorate it, but not all the way. So a Shulchan's like a Mizbeach, but it's not totally a Mizbeach. Therefore, it doesn't have all the rules and regulations of a Mizbeach. So we, obviously, Duchen, it's like the Avoda, but it's not totally like the Avoda, perhaps. To give you another illustration of this, let's take a halacha we all, or you don't, or you do, Mekayim, on Shabbos. I hope everyone here eats Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to eat three meals on Shabbos. Do you take two pieces of bread like you do Friday night, Shabbos morning, two challahs at Shalosh Shudas? You do. Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Reish, Sadik Aleph 291, that you don't have to make Kiddush at Shalosh Shudas, but Tzarich Liftzoh al Shnei Kikarot, you have to take two pieces of bread, Lechem Mishnah, even at Shalosh Shudas. Comes along the Ramah and says, listen, actually, if you have 4 or 5 meals on Shabbos, you should always start the meal with two pieces of roll. But then he says, however, if you're cheap, or you ran out, he says, from here the minog, but he says, what's going on over here? If you have to take Lechem Mishnah, you have to. There's no halacha like this Friday night. You don't have it. What are we speaking of here? What is he talking about that you can take just one? So let's think about the source of this. Let's do exactly what we did with Mincha, with the two pieces of bread. Why do we have two pieces of bread? Cute, but no. Nice, but no. No, why do we have two challahs Friday night, covered on the bottom? Oh, you fed! The mon, they had a double portion that fell on Friday. Why do they need a double portion on Friday?
Because they can't go out.
Because they leave the area.
Why can't they go out of a certain area on Shabbos? What's the issur? Of the lametet malachot.
They didn't have an A roof.
They couldn't build an A roof. It was a reshut harabim. They can't take from the public domain into the private domain on Shabbos. Thus, on Friday, a double portion fell. They took everything into the house. So Friday night, they had how many portions left? Let's think about this. In the Midbar, they ate 2 meals a day, not 3. So Friday, 4 mons fell. So Friday night, they had 3 mons, at least a double portion, plus. Shabbos morning, they had 2. What did they have at Shalosh Shudas?
1.
So you can understand why at Shalosh Shudas you only take 1. However, if you say you have to take 2, what are you saying? That yes, I have to remember the mon, but I don't have to mimic the mon, because there's no more mon. How do I know there's no more mon? First of all, I've never seen it. But second of all, it's a pasuk in Yehoshua. We read it on the first day of Pesach. The Jews came into Israel, and they brought the Korban Pesach. Next day, no more man.
I think we're
going to
read it on Monday.
Finished. Gentlemen, no more man. So I have to remember the man, albeit I don't have to mimic the way they lived in the desert. So the point of view that says all you need is one challah, Shalosh Shudas, says mimic totally what they did in the desert. Live on Shabbos, in terms of your bread, like the Jews lived with their mon in the desert. According to the point of view that says, eat two, even at Shalosh Shudas, even though in the Midbar they didn't have two, they only had this one left. What are they saying? You have to remember the mon, but you don't have to mimic the mon. So yes, in the Midbar they only had one, but here, we'll take two at every single meal. We'll remember that they used to have a double portion. We're not living like they did in the desert. We're remembering at every meal that they had 2 months. Same thing with Mincha. Perhaps we have to say to ourselves, yes, this is what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, And yes, we're sensitive to it, but we don't have to mimic it, because there isn't a Beis HaMikdash today. And I believe that the balance here is a very, very delicate one, because many Jews feel very comfortable today living without a Beis HaMikdash. We're okay. Nice shul, nice neighbors. So you have a balance here. If you totally and utterly mimic the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps you'll forget that we're missing a Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, if you totally forget about it, then it's a problem too.
The Siddur Shlishi, then the bracha is made on a whole bread, but all you have to eat is two slices? Or can you take from what been left over from other meals and just have two slices from that?
Okay, the machlokas about how much do you have to cut both breads at every meal or just one is a big machlokas. And in general, the point of view is you only have to cut one. You don't have to. You have to make the bracha on two, but you only have to eat from one.
You make the bracha on two.
And you eat from one.
Okay.
For those who go to an early kiddush, or the early minyan.
Yeah.
And then they eat after, let's say, mincha time. And I was told that the reason that's a good idea is because that lunch at the mincha is kind of like Siddur Shlishi.
So
like
now you're bringing
kiddush,
up what
the kiddush is no bread often. It's just
okay.
The kiddush.
So now you're bringing up what I happen to think. We're getting off topic, but I'll just say that I believe that what you just said is one of the best halachic ideas in the winter, for sure. In the winter, it's very hard to eat challah shudas. You're full from lunch, and it's a short day and whatnot. If you had it, even if you don't go to an early minyan, my opinion is that you should right after davening have kiddush with two little rolls, then you had your second meal.
England, so the rolls are the key here. You have to have the bread.
In England, the shul I went to, they have milcha an hour before nacht, and the few minutes from out, so you have a
right. In Chutz La'aretz, there's a much more of an awareness of Shalosh Shedus because it's built into the schedule.
Yeah.
But in Israel, when there's what we call the early mincha that we spoke of today, the 12:30 mincha, the 1 o'clock mincha, then sometimes people sleep through Shalosh Shedus.
But not the kiddush in the morning.
So my opinion is that at the kiddush in the morning, you should take two pieces of bread for two good reasons. Number one, it could very well be that having a mizonos at a kiddush on Shabbos morning is not enough. Could be. Most people say it's enough, but the Gra said it wasn't enough. You have to really have a meal. So you should have two pieces of bread, the choshesh for the Gra. It's a good idea. Number two, there is a diuk in the Rambam that seems to imply that you should eat the second meal of Shabbos before Chatzot. Today Chatzot is pretty early. It's about 11:30, midday, meaning the sixth hour of the halachic 12-hour day. So therefore, if you go to an early minyan, or if you go to the regular minyan, and you finish at around 10:45, 11 o'clock, and then you eat your second meal, just with a piece of herring, a piece of kugel, you've already choshesh for the Rambam.
With the bread, though.
Then, with bread. Then, you should wait a little bit, learn a little, take a walk, and then your guests come in. If it's after Chatzos, the best thing is to daven mincha first, but even if you can't, you can probably eat your meal. Mm-hmm. The problem with not davening mincha before is that we do have a halacha all year, including Shabbat, that you shouldn't eat a big meal before Mincha Gedolah. So perhaps it's a better idea to daven Mincha first and then invite your guests. That would prolong your day.
Right.
Perhaps, however, because it's Challah Shudas and you're eating it for the reason of a mitzvah, maybe a Sudas mitzvah doesn't have that problem. Or to be more precise, you can build it into your schedule that you have a reminder, someone to remind you to daven Mincha or whatnot, then you can probably eat a big meal even before Mincha. So I personally think it's a great idea that at a Kiddush on a Shabbos morning, you should have two pieces of bread. First of all, because perhaps that is the only Kiddush b'mkom Seudah. Second of all, to be Choshesh for the Rambam. And thirdly, for the good idea of many people miss Shalosh Shudas in the winters. However, obviously everything I just said, you could say it's not a big deal. It really isn't a big deal. Man, most people say you can have a mizonos on Shabbos morning, like the Gaonim Shita. Many people say that people don't miss Shalosh Shudas. And finally, quite frankly, it's not such a big deal to eat before Chatzos, the second meal. It's a diuk in the Rambam. It's not a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So to sum up today, we basically saw a beautiful, beautiful Shulchan Aruch that says you can daven Mincha Gdola, but the better thing is Mincha Ketana. And we try to explain it as, do you mimic the Beis HaMikdash and copy it? Or do you say we remember the Beis HaMikdash, but we don't copy it? And we saw two examples to prove this point. One was the duchening, that you have to do it before Shkia, just like a korban has to be brought before Shkia. Or not such a big deal. It's like avoda, but not totally. And finally, the shalashudas, do you need two pieces of bread? Do you live like they did in the desert, exactly mimicking it? Do you copy it? Or do you not copy it? You remember it, albeit you don't copy it. There's no more mun on the table, and there's no animals to shecht. We remember it, we commemorate it, but we can't copy it due to the fact that we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. And I just ended by saying that perhaps this is the delicate balance we live in today. We have to remember that there was a Beis HaMikdash. We have to remember also that we don't no longer have a Beis HaMikdash.